Thank you, Lauren. All right. Good morning. You know that one line in there, finding money? I know how to make that happen. Just lose some. We read that years ago, banning it, like, that means somebody had to lose their money. So, anyways, I thought that was funny. All right. Well, we actually have a little special treat for y'all right now. Somebody would like to say hi to you.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm so bummed not to be there today. I thought I'd be able to get there today, but I got a minor setback with vertigo this week. My world has been spinning. I've been looking forward so much to come, and just thank everybody. Your outpouring of love and prayers has honestly just been overwhelming. It's been one of the most incredible weeks of my life, is to see the response of our church family and God's people all over the world. Thank you so much. I had a little surgery with a minor small intestine, and it's gone real well. The Lord really answered our cries to him to not have to do the extreme, seriously invasive surgery, and for me, just that was as good as a total miracle. I was so encouraged by that. I woke up and my family was there and said, excuse me, my family was there and said, no Whipple. We didn't have to have the Whipple surgery, and that was the serious one. And then they said no intensive care, and so I woke up to great news. So anyway, thank you. Thanks so much. I miss you a ton, and I'm planning on being able to be back to see everybody and give 1,000 hugs or more next Sunday. So we love you. I love you much. Thank you.
Amen. Now, we spent some time with him yesterday, and he was, I think I'm going to try to get to church tomorrow. And we're all like, no. So he's being very submissive to mom, his wife. And my mom's all, no, she's all, yeah, okay, I guess I won't. So he is so eager to see everyone. He hates missing anything. And so I know he's probably watching right now. And I did this in first service. Mom's not here, but I just wanted to give a shout out to my mom. My mom's an absolute champion, hero. She's my mom. But I'm super, you know, it's not like she had the choice or whatever it was the choice, but it's just amazing to see how much, you know, your parents love each other, and especially in moments and seasons like this, it's just a beautiful thing when you have family, when you have someone you do life with, and just how they serve each other so much. And so my mom's a total champion. So when you see her, just high five her, fist pump or something. So a couple more things, real quick. Tonight we have kind of a special treat. Jeremy Riddle will be preaching. And so Jeremy's been a part of the team for a long time. But he's carrying something fresh, and so I'm excited to see what he brings. So he'll be here tonight, so you'll definitely want to be back. And then I'm asking that you guys would pray for me. I leave for Argentina tomorrow, and I'll be back Friday, so it's very, very quick. But I would appreciate your prayers. And so Argentina, that's going to be fun. All right, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to, we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 2. Then we're going to go to Galatians. And then we're going to spend most of our time together in John. But there's one verse in each, Ephesians and Galatians, three verses. And I want to read those because they're going to give a little bit of a context and great reference points to what we're going to cover in John 15. So go ahead and get to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Say that with me. Workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Say that with me. Good works. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is an incredible verse. And part of it is because it actually kind of conclude the previous 9 verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 is one of my most favorite, marked up, highlighted, circled passages in my Bible. And I think it's one of the most eloquent. I think it's one of the most precise. I think it's one of the most accurate, summarized versions of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom. Some authors in the Bible take chapters and books to explain the gospel, but Paul does an incredible, phenomenal job of doing it in what we would call 10 verses. And he concludes the gospel and the kingdom with this idea that God, we are God's workmanship. We were created to do good thing that he had already planned for us. Scholars tell us a couple different ways to actually look at this verse, and it's the idea that God is a master craftsman and we are his masterpiece. That we are actually that piece of art that is in the middle of the gallery, all the lights are on it and everything else is dim because the artist wants you to see the masterpiece. That's the heart, the theology, the doctrine, the motivation behind that last verse. You are the masterpiece in the middle of the gallery and all lights are on you because God is so dang proud of the masterpiece, and that's you. If you're not encouraged yet, I don't know what will. So now go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to read a couple verses here, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. How many are still working on a few of those things? I finished the last one this week. It's amazing. I'm joking. I need to work on every one of those. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is what's called the fruits of the Spirit. I want you to make a mark in your mind right now about the fruits of the Spirit. We're going to talk a bit today about fruit. So now go with me to John chapter 15. We're going to read one of the most common, popular, amazing passages about our relationship with Jesus and the relationship with the Father and how all of this works. It's red letter. So anything that's red letter in your Bible is the best words in Scripture. And if they're black letters, it doesn't mean they're bad. It just means all black letters point to the red letters. If you don't have a red letter Bible, then it might be good to get one, so whatever. So John chapter 15, let's start in verse 1. I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Last verse. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Say, much fruit.
Much fruit.
So you will be my disciples. Some of you are aware. If not, you're about to become aware. My wife and I and our two daughters, we just 6-ish months ago, we moved into our new house and had lots of property, lots of land, and it's been a dream of ours for a very long time. I shared the story on a Sunday night. Crazy provision, crazy story. Bought it for a crazy, ridiculous price. And we've been there for 6 months now. And, for me, I don't attend a gym I don't like to work out in a gym. I don't mind it. But my favorite is a chainsaw, a weed eater, a lawnmower, a riding lawnmower. I want power tools and I want gas and exhaust. I'm just going to say it. I can't stand the battery-powered weed eaters. I'm like, where's the noise? Where's the, like, Anyway, some of you are like, don't you care about the environment? I totally do. I totally do. Except when it comes to that stuff. That's a joke. So for me, I like my version of working out. My version is like cutting stuff and chopping stuff up and weed whacking. And I actually, it's actually quite therapeutic for me, to be honest with you. It's just one of those things where my mind kind of just focuses on the task. I feel like I'm getting a good workout, and I smell like exhaust. I just like it all. And wood chips are everywhere. Amazing where wood chip, they find how to get everywhere on you. And so we've got about 15 acres, and so our plan was like about 5 or 7 acres, the front half of the property, is to manage it really well. And so we've got, I don't know how many, Sayla and I have talked about counting how many oak trees we have on our property, but I wouldn't be shocked if it was around 1,000. I mean, it is so many oak trees, and I love it. It's just beautiful. And so what we've been doing the last few months is we've been trimming every tree on about 5 or 7 acres, every tree up to about the 8-10 foot mark, just trimming it so everything looked clean, been mowing everything, weed whacking around every tree so there's no weed sticking up next to the tree. I have a problem. People just mow and they don't do that final part. Like, you gotta trim that extra piece. Can I get an amen from any guys in here? So like my property right now, it looked like a park. And there's lines, like where I mowed, it's just lines that go for like hundreds of feet and you kind of went back. And I just love lines. God didn't make lines, so he trusted us to make lines. So our property looked like a park. It's just a beautiful thing to behold. And I can't help when Jesus, when he was walking the earth so many years ago, that, you know, what you'll find in Jesus, especially in the red letter, Jesus was constantly using illustration of what was around him at that time. He talked about the sheep and the shepherd. He taught, you know, all kinds of, you know, used parables about different things. He was constantly using the circumstances, the culture of his day to describe kingdom principles. And this is a fascinating principle about the vine, the branch, and the vine dresser. We're going to talk about all three of those, and there's a couple other things we're going to dive into. It's fascinating because the vine, the branches, and the vine dresser is a more intimate description of our relationship with Jesus and with the Father than a sheep and a shepherd is. I can't help but think Jesus talked about a sheep and the shepherd, and then one day he goes, oh, that's a way more better description, in-depth description of what this is all, how this all functions. So he jumped into this whole beautiful teaching on the vine, the branches, and the vine dresser. So let's talk about what are those three. The vine. Jesus says, I am the true vine. I love how he says true vine. Why? Because it's very clear there are a lot of vines. And Jesus speaks up and he said, I want to make it really clear. I am the true vine, meaning there are false vines. There are other vines that culture and the world provide that many people graft themselves into, hoping it gives them, it fills that void, that spot that never is satisfied. And the only way you quench that thirst is being connected to the true vine, which is Jesus Christ. And so for some of us, we're plugged into the wrong vine. We're actually going, I've been in this vine for 10 years, and it still hasn't filled this void, this longing for acceptance, this longing of being in relationship. Well, Jesus makes it very clear, I am the true vine. So just to be clear, there are a lot of vines. The question is, are you connected to the true vine? Branches, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He's talking to his disciples and anyone within earshot. You are the branch. What's fascinating about a branch is a branch is an extension of what it's connected to. It actually draws its source of life, nutrients, liquid, everything from the vine. We had a grapevine. We don't have any currently, but we have some in Weaverville. It's amazing when you cut a grapevine branch, within hours, that branch is dried up. Because it requires so much water and nutrients from the vine that the moment it's cut off, it's dried up, and it's pretty much obviously useless. So we are the branch. We are the branch that is an extension of what we're connected to. And so you can easily take this passage and say our fruit is to be Christ-like. We're supposed to be an extension of the vine, which is Jesus, and we are supposed to be like Christ. The vine dresser is the most important part of this teaching. The vine dresser is the Father. It's God. Now, we haven't been to Napa in a couple of years, but we found ourselves going to Napa every year or so. I love going to Napa because it's just, It's a different way of life. It's just a level of excellence, and I just love everything about it. And we really enjoy. I love driving down the country road and looking out the window and just seeing lines, of course, lines after lines of vineyard. And I'm always like, oh, they messed up out there. There's a little curve. They should have. Anybody think like that? They're like, why did they? They could have just kept that one straight. But I love how the straight lines follow the contour of the land. It's kind of mesmerizing. It's just, it's fascinating. And what's important to realize, God is the vine dresser of a vineyard. And sometimes we think, where are the vineyard? I am a vineyard. No, you're not a vineyard. You're a branch in a vineyard. Why is this important? Because sometimes we have made the gospel, our walk with the Lord, about our branch. And we don't realize it's about the whole vineyard, which is what? It's the whole body of Christ. We're in community. Now, one of the challenges, especially in Western culture, is there's been a distinction which is unbiblical. Separate community with revival. We've separated the two and said, oh, you have to pick one or the other. No, you don't. It's not. For some reason, different philosophy kicked into our culture centuries ago, and it produced this, well, I got to be in community, and if you're in community, you can't really have revival. And if you have revival, it kind of is against community. No, that is unbiblical. The book of Acts was built on the premise of people doing life together, and I have a deep conviction that when the Holy Spirit poured himself out on the community of believers, he thought, this will never end. This is Eric's conviction, so don't, this part is, do whatever you want with it. But I think if the Holy Spirit poured out on one person, it would have ended with that person. So when he poured out, you know, they were all in one accord, one heart, one mind. And when the Holy Spirit blew on that context, look at us, we're here today, thousands of years later, and it's not slowing down at all. So the point is, we are in a vineyard, and the vine dresser has the whole vineyard in mind, not just you as one branch. So the vine dresser is a pretty powerful person. That's why he's called God. I mean, God is, he can do whatever he wants. Then we're going to talk about what he likes to do. In Philippians 1:6, it says that we covered this a lot last year. Philippians 1:6 says, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Now, one of the fascinating parts of this passage, I've read this my entire life. I've read this so many times. I know many of us have, and some of you, this is a brand new passage to you. But what I have found is most of believers, they read this passage, and what they walk away with is verse 6. Let's read it. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out of the branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So we sit there like, oh gosh, and we're like, we're going to burn in hell, and we get so caught up in one verse, when the actual point of this whole passage is not about that. It's like the minor point. It's like, hey, oh, by the way, if you disconnect from me, this is kind of what happens. But the whole passage is overwhelmingly about one thing, fruit. It is overwhelmingly about fruit and how he is going to help you be fruitful. The vine dresser is not thinking, man, how can I kill this whole vineyard? I'm sick and tired of it. That vine dresser has no job. No, a vine dresser is thinking, how can I make this vineyard the most fruitful vineyard, period? That is the heart of God, is to make you fruitful, not so that you burn. So I want to challenge you, if you've read this passage and you have a verse six mentality, you're misreading this entire context. You should be reading, oh, God wants me to be fruitful, wants us to be fruitful, and he actually wants us to make more fruit. So that is the lens that you have to read this through. But let's look at verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, every branch that does not bear fruit takes away. There's another way to equally look at the word take away. It actually means to lift up. Depending on what translation you have, mine said takes away, but you can actually look at the root word, and it equally means to lift up. So I was reading some stories about vine dressers, people that manage vineyards. And they said, oftentimes a new branch will actually go down and be on the ground. And the vine dresser's responsibility is to make sure when that happens, they do what's next. And what they'll do, they'll notice the branch will go down on the ground, it'll get in the dirt, the debris, and the mud. So what the vine dresser now does, it goes in, picks up the branch, lifts up, gets a bucket of water, and cleans off the leaves that are muddy. If there's any dead leaves, cut the dead leaves off. They don't cut the branch off because it's new. So they lift it up, clean it off, and then they put it back on the trellis. They're giving it direction. So if you're in a season of life, I'm not bearing any fruit, don't take verse 6. Verse 6 is not your destination. No, what happened? Oh, you're not bearing fruit. I'm going to lift you up and help you bear fruit. Now, how did verse 6 happen? It's when you don't abide in him. Which is a pretty blatant decision. It's not like I accidentally stopped abiding in God. Seriously. No, it's like blatantly, I'm running away from God. Okay, verse 6 applies to that situation. But I have a feeling majority of people in this room, verse 6 is not what you should be worried about. And yet it's become, oh gosh, I don't want to burn in hell. Okay, totally, I don't either. But there's a lot more above just getting through this thing. There's actually something that the vine dresser was like, man, I want you to be so fruitful. That's my intent. That's my heart. So if you're laying in the dirt, God actually wants to lift you up. Now, have you ever seen a grapevine unattended to? That's called free will without God. Okay, let me say this again. Let me describe what a grapevine looks like when no one attends to it. It is out of control. It's a disaster. It produces nothing because it's not given direction. It's not given care. It's not given, hey, I'm going to do some work on you so you produce fruit. It'll be later, but just hang in there. When you see a grapevine, when we bought this house and we really had this grapevine on the side, it was like a bush. It was like, what is this thing? Oh, it's a grapevine. No one managed it, period. That's called free will without God. Now, people ask me, are you an open theist? Or I'm like, I don't even get into those discussions. All I know is I have a free will, and God is the vine dresser, and if he wants to override my free will, he totally can. So I don't know what you do with that. Like, am I this or that? I think there's a good mixture of in between. Some of you need to hear this. You're like, oh, that makes total sense now. No, God is the vine dresser, and if he was like, hey, your free will got you in the mud, he's like, the vine dresser is like, you made that choice. You screwed up your life. No. He's like, no, listen, let me help you. I'm going to lift you up, clean you up, and put you back on the trellis because you deserve to make fruit. So good. This is really good, by the way. I don't know. I'm getting so much life from this. So a grapevine unattended to called free will without God. But when you have free will and the vine dresser is still in charge, that's a really good picture. He has the right to redirect your life. Some of us are like, I don't like my new job. I don't like this relationship. I don't like this city I live in. Well, all I know is God's the vine dresser. We had some great lunchtime. We had some friends over for lunch yesterday, and we were revisiting something in his life. And about 2 years ago, he had to, I don't know what the right way to say it, but he went into this season and it lasted a couple of years, and it was kind of tough. And it was the season of I'm having to step into a job, a profession that I have zero desire for. Actually, I have negative desire for this direction. And all of his dreams, his passion were in opposite direction, and he tried hard and none of those doors were open. So he was kind of like, I have to do this, and this is the last thing on earth that I want to do. That was a couple years ago. And it was a journey. Some of you, I know all of us have been through that before. So we had them over, you know, friends of ours. They were over yesterday. And we were celebrating the victory of the fruits of the Spirit in his life. Do you know that you don't get patience overnight? It is impossible to have patience in one day. You need a long time to pass before patience is actually, oh yeah, that's the fruit of my life. Some of us are like, man, I'm patient. I've been at this 1 week. Okay. You need like years. Long suffering. There's no shortcut to long suffering. There's no shortcut. And if it's a shortcut, don't believe it. It's not one. It's probably the longer way. Faithfulness. There's no shortcut to that one either. What's the point? It takes time to bear fruit. And sometimes you'll go into a season, you're like, this is not what I want. And God's like, I know, but this is what you got to do. Lifts you up and puts you on the trellis and says, that's where you need to go. Yesterday or 2 days ago, I was with my oldest, Kennedy, and we were just talking about life and decisions and just, you know, just processing life. And I was telling her about a situation in my life when I was just out of high school. And it was a certain situation where I had devoted so much time in prayer to. I mean, it was a tough situation, and I was praying for there to be restoration and healing in a relationship. And at the time, I lived in Weaverville, and I would drive the chaff to college every day for school, and that's where I played baseball. And then I'd drive home every day to Weaverville. So it was a little over an hour one way. So a couple hours a day. I was interceding at the top of my lung for the entire drive to and from. So over 2 hours a day, I mean, I had worship music on. We were my Isuzu Trooper. Anybody remember those? Brian, you remember that car? Isuzu Trooper. 5-speed, big old stick shift. And I drove that thing every day. And I'm praying just out loud for this. For 2 months. I commuted for 2 months before I finally moved down here. I commuted for 2 months and I am like, I'm interceding. I'm not thinking interceding. I am out loud interceding. And here, that was when I was 18, 19 years old. Here I am, 40. I'm sitting down with my daughter, and I'm like, Kennedy, I want you to know. I told her the situation. I said, I am so glad God ignored me. I'm so glad that he did not answer that prayer. There's a song, in case any of you want to know a song that goes with that. Sometimes we want to go in a certain direction, and God's like, nah, you need to go over here. Just trust me. And I don't know what it is, but Ryan and I turned 40, and it's like all of a sudden I got a little bit better perspective. It's like, oh, wow, I wish I knew that when I was 18 when my frontal lobe wasn't developed yet. That would have been so helpful. That's why you're in the vineyard, because someone else is going to help you. There's something about the vine dresser. Let him do what he's designed to do. Now, some of us are actually genuinely afraid that the vine dresser does not care. No, according to this passage, the vine dresser is in the vineyard. He's in your life to help you make fruit and to be more fruitful. And some of us think God is not in the vineyard and we're going to burn. No, 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 that's not the vineyard we are a part of. We're a part of the vineyard that God is like, man, I want to make a lot of fruit. Remember, we're not in the raisin business. We are not in the raisin business. If you look at the numbers of the raisin industry versus the grape industry, it's quite dramatic. No one spends stupid amounts of money to buy a box of raisins and put it in the garage and say, someday I'll eat it. But somebody will spend an exorbitant amount of money on a bottle of wine, put it in a wine cooler, and never drink it. That's what God's in that business. He's in the business of a lot of fruit that makes some good stuff. And some of you are thinking like you're a raisin. You're not a raisin. You're actually a genuine grape that God wants to see you multiply and become more. That's the goal of a vine dresser. That's God's heart. Okay. Okay, check this out. Let's see, where do we want to start on this one? Yeah, let's do verse 2 one more time. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Remember, that means to lift up. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. This is always the interesting one. I know that in my life, and I know I'm speaking for many, but it dawned on me, this was quite a few years ago, that let me say this phrase, promotion is pruning, and pruning is promotion. Anytime I've got a promotion in life, maybe spiritually, mentally, or in the natural with a job or a role of influence, anytime I've got a promotion in relationship, upgrades in life, I've always had to let go of something. Always. I've always had to say, okay, no longer do this, or no longer have this, or no longer be connected to this. Because anytime you get a promotion, pruning, you have to prune. If you don't, guess who will? The vine dresser. But he's like, I got to cut this off because you can bear more if you get rid of this. So promotion actually means to prune. And the problem is God didn't want us to make all fruit. He wants us to make more fruit. I don't like letting go of that relationship. Or I don't like letting go of that thing. I don't like letting go. No, you have to. If you don't, you're going to get stuck. And one of our things in life, as we progress, remember, we're going from glory to glory, you're going to have to let go of something. You're not required to make all fruit. You're required to make more fruit. And anytime you advance forward, you have to leave something behind. And some of us, we're afraid to leave that thing behind because we don't know what the future looks like. I can't see it, so I'm just going to hold on to this. Yep, this is my security. Okay. Woo. And this is what gets people in the wilderness for 40 years. This right here, I can't let go. Nope. We had food in Egypt. We had meat in Egypt. We got manna here. I don't like crackers. I want my beef. And this is what people do. They hold on to their beef.
So good.
And we wander through life. You have to let go in order to get the more. So promotion leads to pruning. If not, pruning will lead you to promotion. So I want to challenge you. I know I'm speaking to all different levels of people in this room right now. And this applies differently to every individual in this room and everyone watching right now. There's always more when you're in the vineyard. When you're truly in God's vineyard, there's always more. It's like that's the next step. It may take a while, but you will get there. And it's hard for us. It's so hard because when we still live in Egypt and hold on to the beef, we build an identity around it. Our economic depend on it. Our political status depends on it. All this stuff depends on this. Like, man, I got my spot. My identity is wrapped up in this. And if I let go of it, it means my identity's rock, my economy changed, my influence is different, and I don't want to let go of that. And God's like, listen, I can make more with you if you let me. But we're so afraid to let go of things that are very real. I have news for you. Change is never going to be easy. This is Eric's opinion. This may not be the opinion of the sponsor right now. I don't believe change is ever easy. If it's easy, it ain't change. Why? Because you build something around something that God put in your life. And it becomes part of you. There's an interesting comment. I'm getting off track here, but it's fun. I'm walking over the mic stand. This is awesome. This represents a lot of things in life right now. Thank you. I'm working my batting stance. There's this phrase, don't get too close to what you do because if that crashes, your identity crashes. I believe that. I really do. I do believe it, but it's actually partially true. Let me tell you why. Because if that is to thrive, it requires all of you. Let me say that again. There's a great leadership principle, and I agree with it, and I believe it. Don't get your identity too wrapped up in whatever that is. Totally. This is not my identity. But in order for this thing to fully become, you have to steward it to such a point that it's an expression of you. So this is why change is never easy. Because you're dying to something. You're actually having to die. So don't think, oh, someday change is going to be easy. No, it's never going to be easy. Because your identity's wrapped in it, your economics wrapped in it, your politics, your influence, all these things are wrapped up into this. And oftentimes you think, this is how the kingdom works. Nope, this is how the kingdom works right here. Anything different than this? Nope, this is how the kingdom works. Listen, if we think we know how the kingdom works, we don't know how the kingdom works. You never figure this thing out. You never go, whoo, I've arrived. No, that's not even an option. Because the more you learn about God, the more confused you become. But yet it feels so right. It feels like, oh, this is totally it. I don't get it, but I know it's the real deal. That's why they call us fools. This is why they call it a stumbling block. This is why they call it stupidity. Because it doesn't make logical sense. And so we don't like letting go of stuff because maybe it changes our financial situation, our economic status. And most importantly, we know, oh, this is not how the kingdom works, so I got to keep this. And God's like, listen, you can totally keep that, but if you let me do what I do well, you'll move into the more fruit. Some of us are like, look at all my fruit. And we got like these long branches like, oh yeah, check it out. Those look good, don't they? And then we turn around and go, look at that side. I'm going to give you every angle. Look at all the angles of the fruit. And the vine dresser comes along and says, dang, this branch right here is providing too much shade for the other branches. It's what happens. I didn't make this stuff up. The vine dresser's like, dang, there's only one branch here. I wonder if I got rid of this one, or pruned it, these other four here produced, that would be a couple 100% more fruit than what I have right now. It might not be your fruit, but at least it's more fruit for him. Well, it's not mine. Remember, you're part of a vineyard. You're part of a family. And when someone else's victory, it's yours. And when you're victorious, so is everyone else. We've got to get out of this isolation kingdom mindset. So the vine dresser comes along today, and there's a lot of shade here. Yeah, it's time to prune this one. And we're like, look at my fruit. And you're thinking, I took me 20 years to get here. And now I get to enjoy it for 1 week of my life. And God's like, yep, you have fun enjoying that for 7 days? Great. Whoosh. And you're like, ah! And you built an entire ecosystem around this. And all of a sudden you're like, I feel naked and I have no idea what's next. Well, I have news for you. That pruning was because he had more fruit in mind. Why don't you stand? Look at your neighbor and say, we are not raisins, but we are fruit. Okay, before we close, I need to read a couple more verses because I want to conclude on this. I told you throughout the morning, now afternoon, it's about bearing fruit and more fruit. But there's also something else that I think is equally important, and it's found in 9 through 11, verse 9 through 11. I'll read it to you. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 11, this is what I want you to get. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So us bearing fruit and more fruit is to bring delight to the King. And as a result of bringing delight to the King, guess who walked out just as happy? Us. So we are designed to make fruit and to bear more fruit and to bring delight to the King so we can our joy can be full. So Father, I pray for everyone in this room that however this applies to us as a vineyard and as a branch, I pray that we'd walk out with a renewed sense, oh, this is much better than I expected. This is actually, God, you are fully in charge of this thing. And you're walking around taking care of business so we can produce more fruit. Now, before I let you go, I ended early kind of on purpose. So please, no one move, no ministry team, no one rush out. The restaurants will definitely still be there when you get there. But I want to address a group of people in this room. If you're in this room this morning and you heard about Jesus, the vine, the branches is us, and God is the vine dresser, and you realize that you have not been connected and abiding in the true vine. You've been in a vine, but it hasn't filled this void. For some of you, it's been years of searching. You've tried this, you've tried this, you've tried that. Maybe something worked for a season, but you came to the end of it and realized this is definitely not the true vine. And if you're here this morning and you want to meet Jesus, the true vine, I want to give you an opportunity. This is what we do almost every week, give people a chance to meet Jesus. Yeah. With every eye opened. Because here at Bethel, when someone says yes to the true vine, Jesus, it's a party for us. It's not like, oh my gosh, look at that person. It's like, that's awesome. We just added a branch to the vineyard. So I want everyone's eyes open. I want everyone's eyes open and looking around. Seriously though, if you're in this room right now, maybe in the overflow or in this room or on Bethel TV, if you want to meet Jesus for the first time, I want you to put your hand up in the air because we want to honor and celebrate you meeting Jesus, the true vine. So put your hand up now if that's you. Your hand up. Where at? Right here? Praise God. Is there anybody else? Over here? Yay, God. Yay, God. Anybody else? Right here. Sorry. Praise God. Yay. Welcome to the vineyard. Is there anybody else? Maybe there's people in the overflow, our pastoral team in there. Make sure you celebrate. And if I could have our freedom team come up to the front real quickly. Don't leave yet. I got 1 minute and 48 seconds. But for those of you that raised your hand just a moment ago, if you came by yourself, I'm going to ask the person that's standing next to you to come with you. If someone brought you, I want that person to bring you up. I want you to come to the front, and I want you to meet my friends right over here. Church family, celebrate them as they come up. Praise God. Yay, God. Now go right over here. Now come up to the front. Praise God. Yay, God. Praise God. Come on up. Come on up. Head right down there. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Yeah, head right down there. We're going to spend some time with you. Yay, God. You know, give God glory now. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And if you're watching on Bethel TV right now, and you raised your hand, I want you right now in your own place, just begin to pray. Just say, Lord, come into my life. I repent of my sins. And I guarantee you the Lord will meet you right in your room, wherever you're at right now. So, Father, we thank you so much. Yay, God. Rory, please come up, give instructions. And ministry team, make your way to the front.
Thank you for joining us. On our website, iBethel.org, you can find our pastor's itineraries who may be visiting a place near you. Barry and Lori Byrne will be in San Antonio, Texas, June 8th through the 11th, and Wendy and Steve Backlin will be in Gelderland, Netherlands on June 10th through the 11th. Now, we want to hear from you. If you have any prayer requests, you can email them to pastor@bethel.tv. Our team would love to pray for you, and be sure to send us your testimonies as well. We recently heard a testimony from Angela West, one of our BSSM pastors. She was baptizing students from her revival group near a golf course. A man on a golf cart drove by and saw the baptisms and turned around to ask what was happening. They shared with him about Jesus and the meaning of baptism. He gave his life to the Lord and got baptized as well. We pray that as you continue to walk in your relationship with God, that you would release the love of Jesus to those around you and for them to come to Christ through the testimony of your life, in Jesus' name. Thank you for watching Bethel TV and joining us in our Bethel family around the world. We hope to see you again soon.